Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. This is your place for all the information you need to have the best-looking house on the block. We keep it practical, we make it realistic, and we provide you that kind of information in bite-sized pieces that you can really use. And, yeah, we do have a little fun along the way. Hey, Danny Lipford here, along with my co-host, Joe Truini.
Hello, everybody. How you doing today, Danny? We're broadcasting here at the last couple of days of January. So, you know, I think most people are going to be looking forward to spring already because it's already been a relatively long winter. I'm here in Connecticut, and we have had snow on the ground for the last month or so, which is fine by me. I love the winter. But it is getting a little chilly. It was 7 degrees here this morning when I went out for my morning walk.
Oh, boy. Well, it's certainly getting cold enough here that it's starting to create some panic. I mean, if it was 7 degrees here in the southeast, everything would be shut down and, you know, disasters would be declared. So it is a big, big difference in things. And we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. We just want you to know how you can reach out to us anytime. One way is to pick up the phone and give us a ring on the Today's Homeowner Hotline. 800-946-4420 is the number that you can call anytime and leave us a question, leave us any comment on something you would like to hear on the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, and we'll tackle it as quickly as we can. Also, talking about tackling things, we will tackle a lot of emails that we've received this week. We'd love to get one from you. All you have to do is go to todayshomeowner.com/ask. And don't forget our Today's Homeowner Facebook page. You can also engage with us there, send us some, you know, any kind of correspondence, and we'll definitely respond to that as well. You know, Joe, it's it is true with the cold weather, and certainly over the last couple of weeks, we even had temperature gets down to 25 degrees. Now, I see you chuckling, 25 degrees. What? That is cold in the southeast, in Connecticut. Not so much, huh?
Well, 25 is cold no matter where you are, right? I mean, if it's 25 in Alabama or Connecticut, it's still cold. The difference is 25 might be our high. And where for you, it'll probably be your low for the day. But yeah, it's still cold. And if you're not prepared for it, like people say, how did you ever work outside when I was doing construction? How did you ever work outside all winter? And, you know, you just bundle up and you go out there, right? We all had mortgages to pay. You just make yourself go out there. And once you're out there, you know, and if the sun's shining, it makes a huge difference. It's the wind that can make 25 degrees feel like 25 below. So that's the only thing. But we work straight through the winter. You know, your hands were the only thing that were almost impossible to keep warm.
Right. You know, in the construction things that, you know, geographically throughout the country, how people build homes are always a lot different. Naturally, sure. Someone building a home in Arizona is going to be a little bit different than someone building one in the Northeast. And, you know, a lot of that's to do with water lines. You know, when you have a crawl space, you know, traditionally, you run your PEX or your copper there. And we always encourage people to wrap those pipes, you know, because when you have a 25 degree, you know, night, you're going to have a possibility of some frozen pipes and some damage. And also it, you know, helps a little bit on energy efficiency when you wrap them. But in the north and in the real cold areas of the country, I guess you really try to minimize any exposure of those pipes to that extreme cold by, I guess, burying them in the ground and making sure that they are insulated when they are exposed.
Yeah, exactly. In the southeast and other parts of warmer climates, you know, homes are often built up on piers and the pipes are basically exposed to the weather because they're under the house. But here we could never get away with that. So everything is buried below the frost line. And the frost line is simply the depth to which the soil freezes. So you have to go slightly below that. And depending on where you are, if you're in Maine, you know, it might be 50 or 60 inches deep. Here in Connecticut and Western Connecticut where I am, I think the frost line depth is 52 inches. You know, in the Carolinas, it might be 24 inches. So anyway, when it comes out of the well, the water's coming, in my case, coming out of a deep well, or if it's coming from a municipality, the town's providing it, it's got the lines run below the frost line. So they're digging trenches. And that brings it right into the house. So it's never exposed, no matter how cold it gets, it's never exposed to freezing temperatures. And that's simply like our basement. It comes into the basement below the way below the floor, and it comes up. And once it's in the basement, it's protected, even though the basement itself is not heated.
You know, I heard about a situation last week where a homeowner trying to do the right thing and leaving the water running a little bit so that the pipes would not freeze, but didn't realize in one of the bathrooms where they left it on, they had a very slow drain, that the drain, you know, was starting to clog up a little bit.
Right.
And without them even knowing it, the water, you know, middle of the night, by the, you know, little by little, it built up and started pouring over into the bathroom. Room floor. Now, they were able to catch it early enough. They actually heard it, woke up, ran in, and was able to save it. They didn't have any damage on anything, but it is a little something to be aware of, and that's why a lot of times maybe using the bathtub for that area that you're, you know, as long as it has a, you know, a suitable drain to it.
Right.
But those are the kind of things that you're trying to be proactive, and you're trying to prevent something, and you end up with another hold issue.
Yeah, and if you're not aware of that, if you don't live in a cold area, the reason people leave the faucet dripping a little bit is in hopes if the water keeps running, it won't freeze. And that actually does work. I have good friends who have an antique house that's probably about over 200 years old up the street. And at some point, someone ran the water lines for one of the showers in an exterior wall, which I'm not sure why anybody did that.
Oh, boy, yeah.
And they traveled a lot. And so they would call me in the middle of the winter, and I used to have to go up there and turn on their shower. And let the shower run, because it would freeze on a regular basis. And they're on a well, so, you know, didn't affect their water bill. But yeah, if you keep it running, dripping just a little bit, you can sometimes avoid those frozen pipes.
You know, we had a funny situation with a homeowner that I spoke with the other day. They were talking about how for their whole life they had a well out in, you know, the side yard.
Right.
And they had a little pump house built over it, which, you know, often is the case and is a good idea. But still, during the really, really cold weather, they would always go out and hook up an incandescent light bulb. And 100-watt light bulb in there provided enough heat that they didn't have a problem with it. He goes, "Where's all the incandescent bulbs? Everything's LED and it doesn't heat up on me. I got a problem here."
So. Oh, no, technology.
That's right. Funny little problems like that happened. But I'll tell you something else. During this time of the year, I'm always aware of this. So many people are spending so much more time inside the house. And we talk a lot about indoor air quality and the importance of that all year long. But no time is it more important than right now to make sure that you're using those exhaust fans to get that hot, moist air out of your house. And also, you know, of course, you're going to go weeks and weeks and weeks without being able to air the house out a little bit. But all of those things are real key. Your furnace filter, you know, make sure you're changing it and really look at a higher quality filter and make sure that when you're changing that filter, clean out as much as you can in that area behind the filter that where dust and particles may have kind of snuck through the filter in some manner. Make sure you clean all of that up. That indoor air quality is a big deal when you're stuck inside the house a lot.
Yeah, and when people are changing filters, really make sure you get the right size filter that fits snugly, because you put in, I've seen too many cases where people slide in a filter and it's like, wow, that went in really easily, and you look and it's too thin and the air's just blowing past the filter. It's not even, probably a half of it is actually going through the filter. So be really careful, because you can go and you to look at these filters like, how am I ever going to find the right one? There are like 30 of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all kind of look alike. But yeah, it's got to be really fitting pretty tightly. I mean, you should be able to slide into place, but it should be fitting tightly enough that air's not passing around the filter.
And probably wouldn't want to caulk it in place. You know, we talk about cracks. If you got a crack, you need to seal it up less. Don't use any caulking on the filter there.
No, let's not do that.
Hey, coming up, we've got a lot to share with you during this hour of today's Homeowner Radio. You know, we talk about cracks and drywall here and there, but during this time of the year, you might look up at that crown molding or maybe some of your cabinetry and see a crack here and there. What can you do? We're going to help a homeowner that's having that exact problem right now. Another thing, well, one of the most popular questions we get is, can you put one floor on top of the other? In this case, can you put vinyl flooring over existing ceramic? We'll tell you how you can do it and how it'll be very successful. Gutter issues, and also, Joe, what about that simple solution coming up?
Well, we're talking about energy efficiency. I have a quick, simple solution, how to detect drafts around windows and doors.
Oh, boy, that's very timely. If you're feeling those drafts coming in around and robbing you of your energy dollars, stick around. We've got a lot of solutions for you on common problems that maybe everybody has in and around their home. You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
The sound of you doing is music to our ears. Order on the Home Depot app and get convenient delivery so you don't have to stop doing when you need something. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Today's homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner radio show that's heard coast to coast on some awesome radio stations just like this one in Ithaca, New York. It's News Talk WHCU 870 AM. We're really excited to be there in your hometown and look forward to helping you with any of your home improvement questions. We make it very easy. Pick up the phone and give us a call. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner hotline. Or if you like to send emails, we like to get them. You can send it by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we're going to see if we can help Donna out in Houston, Texas. Donna, welcome to the show and tell us what's going on around your house.
Hi. I have crown molding in one room, and y'all recently had an article about how to repair drywall, but mm-hmm. I have a crown molding that has cracked, and I would like to know how to repair it.
Okay. All right. Is that, I assume the crack that you're seeing is at a seam where two pieces of crown come together?
Actually, it's not. It's a diagonal crack about halfway down the wall.
Huh. Now sometimes some trim guys do the diagonal cuts like this, but this crack you're seeing is not perfectly straight then, like a trim cut. It's maybe jagged, as if something is settling.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Okay. Well, a little unusual, because normally crown molding is fairly flexible, and if there is any type of movement and so forth, it will kind of bend and kind of go along with any of that settling. But you're not seeing any cracks in any of the drywall above or below the crown molding where you're having the problem?
I am not, no.
Hmm.
I do have a crack in the drywall, but it's on a separate wall.
Okay. Joe, what do you think on this? Because if there was active settling, you know, Donna would certainly see something on the drywall wall or ceiling. You think maybe there could be a little defect in the crown molding itself originally?
Yeah. So, Donna, this crack is in the crown molding itself. It's not at a seam, but just the crown molding itself is cracked. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And are you sure this is wood molding made out of wood as opposed to polyethylene or polyurethane it is, polyurethane or MDF or something like that?
Yes, I am sure.
It is wood. And it's a crack, but it's a kind of a, like Danny said, it's a little bit of a jagged crack. It's not a perfectly straight, like from a saw cut.
Well, it's not truly jagged, but
right.
but it is diagonal.
Okay. It kind of sounds like it might be one of those scarf joint cuts that they make, mm-hmm. which is often a compound angle cut, meaning it's at an angle across the miter and as the bevel. And the reason they do that is so that when these two pieces come together, instead of just butting them together with square cuts, if the molding shrunk a little bit, you'd see that space. Here, if it shrinks a little bit, it would just open up. It would move a little bit, but it wouldn't open up a joint where you wouldn't see it. So you might be seeing is that diagonal scarf joint. And so if that's what it is, like, okay, you know, assuming this isn't a split, maybe someone drove in a nail and cracked it or something like that. But if it is the scarf joint, okay, so what do you do about it? Well, there's really not much you can do. I guess you could try caulking it or filling it and painting over it. But then if the molding swells come summer, you know, then it's going to move back in and I'm not sure what it would look like. Without seeing this, it'd be really hard to tell. Is this the only place where you see this problem?
Yes.
Is it a long stretch of a relatively long wall?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if it was a short, reason I ask, because if it was a short wall, meaning less than 8 feet or so, even less than 10 or 12 feet, it would probably be one piece of molding. But if it's a long wall, they often will put in two pieces. It shouldn't be any more than two pieces of molding. So maybe that's exactly what it is. It's that scarf. It's called a scarf joint.
Yeah. And you know what happens on this is that expansion and contraction that happens so much to all, just all kinds of things in the home. And you'll be surprised. I've heard many, many people say, you know, I know there was a crack there and it's the middle of summer and it's just as tight as can be and disappears. I know you want to address it now, but I'm using a very, very little acrylic caulk. Now, we're saying all of this assuming the molding is painted and not stained. Is that correct?
Correct. It is painted. Yes.
Okay. If you use just a small amount of an acrylic latex caulk, which is, you know, very, very available, and you just apply it with your finger and wipe it down really tight, the crack will go away. It remains a little flexible. When it does expand during the summer, you know, it has that flexibility that should be able to disguise it. But if you want to be patient and wait a few months, you'll be surprised how that thing will completely disappear.
Okay. Well, thank you both very much.
Okay, our pleasure, Donna. Thanks so much for being a part of today's Homeowner Radio Show. We'll hope you have a great weekend. That's we used to get these calls all the time, Joe, during this time of the year where that expansion and contraction is bound to happen, and that can happen on your floor. That can happen on door trim. Certainly, it seems to be more obvious a lot of times on crown molding that in some cases will make it look like the crown molding's, you know, almost falling off the wall because of cracks that you see under and above the crown molding itself. And it's probably more prominent on outside walls because
right.
You have more the influence of the weather on those outside walls. But
yep.
I wish we could tell her a little bit better than just be patient, it'll go away, you know?
Exactly. Well, and plus she's in Houston, which is has really humid summers, and when the heat's on, I assume the heat's probably on or whatever, it's probably really dry now, so you know that would have some movement in the molding itself.
Hey, we got a lot of great emails this week. We appreciate you sending them. You can send one right now to todayshomeowner.com/ask. This one came in from Sandy. Sandy says, I recently hired a contractor to install larger gutters on my home to help prevent any of the clogging of the downspouts. However, I noticed that he left a half inch wide space between the house and the gutter. I don't want water running behind the gutter, so how can I fill the space up? Should I use elastomeric caulk? Now, Joe, we always wonder, well, why don't you call the contractor back? Well, she mentions the contractor was injured on another job and cannot come back to fix it. Well, hope the contractor gets well and gets back to work and so forth. But I almost wonder how you can leave a half-inch gap behind the gutter. How can you even do that? You know what I mean? Because you're nailing or screwing that gutter tight to the fascia board. So how could there be that gap in there unless, you know, there's, you know, the fascia may not be completely straight and true. It is a little confusing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's if you use spikes to nail it to the fascia. There are also hangers. Some of them can be hung off the roof itself. And some of them I've seen, they're really beautiful, these U-shaped cast, usually cast aluminum brackets that get screwed to the fascia, and then the half round gutter or whatever the shape gutter sits in that. So that might be the issue. But yeah, you certainly shouldn't have a space. Otherwise, what's the point of having a gutter if the water's not going into it? And if you don't fill that space, correct that situation, the water's going to rot out that fascia. So you can't fill it with caulk. But what I would recommend, I think we did a simple solution on this, is you can get drip cap molding, slip it up under the lowest row of shingles, and just pull it out a little bit. Even just a half inch, which is all Sandy would need. And that would carry the water off the edge of the roofing, across the half inch of drip cap edging, and into the gutter. That's probably the best thing to do.
Yeah, without a doubt. You're right, Sandy, because what will happen is some water will go in the gutter, but the damaging water will go behind it.
Right.
And the thing is, water running down over a fascia board is not that big of a deal. But when you have the penetration of the nail or the screw or the bracket, that's the entry point into the overhang area and your soffit areas. And I can't tell you how many times that we've seen what appear to be a small amount of damage on a soffit area, and then you tear that first piece down,
right,
and you see that it's a big problem.
Yeah.
Water running over into the edge of the wall, the top of the siding, and you might not see it until you get involved in it. But the worst thing is when you tear that piece of soffit down.
I see where you're going. Go ahead.
There's approximately 85 to 100 roaches that come down on top of your head. Now that
or a bee's nest.
Yeah, or bee's nest. All kind of wood destroy. I mean, of course, that's something that termites love when they have that moisture. So,
right.
Yes, Sandy, you have a valid concern there, and you want to do what Joe said, put the little drip cap in there to prevent that water from getting on the fascia board. Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking about one of our most popular questions we ever get, and that's, can you put a vinyl floor over a ceramic floor? All of that and a whole lot more coming up right here on Today's Homeowner Radio.
Call Today's Homeowner anytime, 800-946-4420.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by the Home Depot, how doers get more done. You know, smart home devices are not new, but they haven't always been easy to integrate into your home. So Leviton is doing their part to simplify the whole process with the Decora Smart Wi-Fi Dimmer. Now, unlike many others, this smart dimmer requires no additional hub to be connected to your home's network. You simply replace a switch with the dimmer, and then you can control it with your phone through the My Leviton app. Now you can dim it, you can create custom settings for preset light levels, fade rates, bulb types. You can even schedule the lights to turn on when you want and to create any type of lighting scene. Also works with Hey Google, Amazon Alexa, or Apple HomeKit and Siri to dim and brighten connected bulbs and fixtures via voice or through the app. And you can connect it with other Decora smart Wi-Fi devices to expand that control throughout your house. So if you're thinking of making a step towards a smarter home, think about this. Replacing just one dimmer can get you started on that, and you can find out about this Leviton Decora Smart Wi-Fi Dimmer by heading over to HomeDepot.com. It's getting easier and easier, Joe, to be able to really control. It's not really gadgets anymore. This can be very, very practical with a lot of these different devices like this.
Yeah, and this one you can control the fade rate. I'm not even sure what that is. That's like how softly it goes off, I guess, or comes on.
So that's
if you're in a room and you click it off, it gives you a few seconds to get out before it gets dark, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Pretty cool. Hey, let's go back to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. Vicki is on the line right now from Louisville, Kentucky, a beautiful town. And Vicki, glad to have you on the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Tell us what we can help you with around your home.
I have a 1955 house, and I have a mosaic floor in my bathroom, much like Chelsea's house.
Uh-huh.
I would like to put vinyl flooring over it. Is that a possibility?
Okay. Well, yes, it is. You can do that. It does require a little bit of floor prep. And floor prep is something that can be a little intimidating to people, but it's very, very simple. If you watch a few of the videos and so forth, we have a number of videos at todayshomeowner.com. But also a great place to go is custombuildingproducts.com. Custom Building Products has a number of very do-it-yourself friendly floor levelers, and all you basically do, a lot of it is available pre-mixed right out of the can, and then you're using a smooth trowel. You can even use a drywall trowel to do this. And you're basically just creating a nice smooth surface, because even though a lot of the mosaic type of ceramic is pretty much flush with the top of the tile itself, you still want to make sure that that will not transfer up through any vinyl material that you put down. So essentially, that's it. You're cleaning the floor. You're putting the floor leveler, floor patch compound over it. And generally, a lot of this stuff dries really, really fast, but you want to make sure you read the instructions to see how soon you can apply your vinyl floor. Then you can move forward with your vinyl floor, and you're done. Now, be aware you can never go back to that ceramic, because once you put the floor patch compound on it, it's going to stay on that surface of that tile. You won't be able to pull it up and try it again later.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
So it's a doable project, and just a little bit of work. And anytime you're doing work around on the floor like that, go ahead and buy those knee pads. I'll tell you, I can't tell you how many times homeowners have forgotten that little simple thing, and they jump down there and work on it for a few hours, and then they can't walk the next day. So so take that little bit of advice and buy your knee pads.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Vicki, thanks for being a part of the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Joe, what do you think on that? I mean, you know, you and I might even cringe just a little bit in thinking about covering up a high-quality ceramic floor a less expensive floor on vinyl. A lot of people, you know, want to change things, and that's one way of doing it without having to completely remove that. But in the great tile book that you wrote a few years ago, I assume that you probably explored some options on this.
Yeah, ordinarily, Danny, we get a call of putting tile on top of vinyl, not vinyl on top of tile, right?
I know it.
But either way, yeah, you could do it. And the product is called a Simple Prep Floor Patch. And that's, again, from Custom Building Products. If you have a really large room, Vicki said it is a bathroom, so this Simple Prep comes pre-mixed, so you just trowel it down. If you had a really large room, you would have to use a self-leveling concrete, and that's much more work. But for a smaller room, this pre-mixed floor patch would work. And the reason you're doing that, of course, is, as Danny said, you don't want to telegraph those grout lines to telegraph through. So the other thing I would recommend is, if you're going to put down sheet vinyl, get the floating type. Don't glue it down, because if you glue it down, then there's a greater chance of those grout joints protruding through, telegraphing through. So, yeah, they make these really thick vinyl floors now that are almost like area rugs. You know, there's nothing holding them in place but the shoe molding around the perimeter of the room.
I really should have mentioned that to her, because I think that's a great option, because you never know. I'm tired of that ceramic. I don't ever want to see it again. But to put some of the thicker material down there, use the shoe molding to hold it down, still changes it and achieves what she wants. But if the next homeowner comes in and says, I really wish I had a ceramic floor, well, just remove that and you have one there. So.
Right. I'm not sure how you'd get the floor patch off. Maybe you grind it off.
Yeah, well, the floor patch would be another issue. Let's get a quick email in here. This is from Arian. She says, I have a log home that's in pretty good shape, but the outside's badly faded, dirty, and stained. Manufacturer suggests sandblasting the logs and then applying a cedar-colored wood stain. I know I can do the staining myself, but sandblasting is something that I would hate to try, and I would not suggest that. Let me tell you, that will eat that log home up completely. I am amazed that the manufacturer suggested that. I'll tell you what, it may look bad, but if you get out there and really pressure wash that and be careful not to damage any of the wood, I think she'll find that that will be sufficient to handle maybe a little bit of sanding at the most, but sandblasting, it can't be that dirty.
Yeah, the manufacturer may have said sandblasting, but he probably didn't mean using sand, because they do quote-unquote sandblast log homes, but they use a softer media. They use either ground walnut shells or ground corn cobs. Mm-hmm. That actually does clean the surface off. And I know this because I shot a story many years ago out in Indiana where a log home manufacturer, and he was a representative, the gentleman who was building this home. Mm-hmm. And people think I made this up, but his name and his wife's name, their names are Steve and Barbara Beaver. And he sells and he sells log homes for a living. You can't make that stuff up.
Wow.
But anyway, you can spruce up a log home with a sandblaster, just don't use sand.
There you go. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk with a homeowner that's wanting to really get their garage in good shape. What a great project for this time of the year, where you can maybe put a little heat in your garage so that you can be comfortable while you're doing some work. But what about wood kitchen cabinets? You can buy them fairly reasonable, and that can really make for some fantastic cabinets in your garage. But can you do that when it's not a heated and cooled space? There's a few things you need to do before you install those cabinets, and we'll talk all about that when we come back here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Then take our easy-to-understand practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading the Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have access to the latest tips, tricks, and answers to your home improvement questions. It's like having Danny Lipford and his crew right there with you while you work. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner podcast today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn more.
Got a project? Tight bond wood glues are preferred by pro woodworkers more than 7 to 1. Why? Because TiteBond is professional strength, even stronger than the wood itself. TiteBond is versatile, perfect for interior and exterior woodworking, and the best choice for home repairs. TiteBond is tough and durable, outlasting extreme weather conditions and conquering demanding projects. TiteBond Wood Glues, the trusted choice for the pro in you.
Are drafty windows causing a chill in your home? Keep the cold out with Duck Brand Max Strength Rolled Window Insulation Kits. This window film creates an added barrier between warm inside air and the frigid temperatures outside, blocking drafts that steal energy and drive up your heating bill. The puncture-resistant film is 2 times thicker than standard window kits, so it's great for high-traffic or pet-friendly homes. And the crystal-clear film is easy to install and remove once warmer weather arrives. Visit duckbrand.com to find a retailer near you.
Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of.
Is your backyard more blah than ah? If so, then you need to enter the Backyard Paradise Contest, brought to you by our friends at Pavestone and Quikrete. One lucky contestant will win their own luxurious landscape. The Pavestone and Quikrete pros will design a project just for the winner's home, worth up to $10,000, and help Danny and his team install it. Plus, the whole process will be featured on an episode of Today's Homeowner TV.
So get your yard ready for warmer weather. Enter now.
Just go to todayshomeowner.com/backyardparadise.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com. And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Want to remind you to enter our Backyard Paradise Contest right now for your chance to win some beautiful outdoor living space from our friends at Pavestone and Quikrete worth up to $10,000. Plus, the winner's makeover project in their backyard will be featured on an upcoming episode of the Today's Homeowner Television Show. So to enter, we make it very easy. Fill out the entry form at todayshomeowner.com/backyardparadise and tell us why you think your yard is in need of a makeover. So do it right now. todayshomeowner.com/backyardparadise. And again, brought to you by our friends at Pavestone and Quikrete. Always a very, very popular project each and every week, and we get some fantastic entries. So go ahead and be one of them and go ahead and send that in. Right now, we're going to head to Ohio. Ken is on the line. Ken, welcome to the show and tell us about your garage and some of your plans for that.
Hey, Danny. It's nice to talk to you. I've completely redone my garage, took out all the old paneling and the drywall on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
Also had a new ceiling put in, a pull-down attic with stairs in it.
Oh, great.
And a complete new floor.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been looking for the best wall cabinets to put up in my garage. It seems like the ones that I really like the most are kitchen cabinets. But my question is, can I install regular wood kitchen cabinets in there? Because I've got some people telling me it's okay and others say no.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just wondering what you prefer.
Well, as a general rule, is it fairly dry in there? Do you have a lot of sweating on the floor or, general kind of high humidity situations in the garage?
No, not really.
Well, you know, kitchen cabinets are designed to be in a heated and cooled space. When you don't have that, people will say, no, you can't do that. And some of the lesser grade cabinets that would be a poor quality, you got to be real, real careful with it, particularly on the base cabinets.
Okay.
I'll tell you what I would do, no matter what you put in there, I would use a clear polyurethane on the inside and the outside area that's not finished. Now, if these are not finished, you would want to stain or prime and paint the whole entire thing. But the type that have the particle board on them are the ones you have to be careful with for your base cabinets.
Okay.
Wall cabinets, not so much, but either way, you're going to want to put maybe 1x4 treated wood to get it up off the floor so that slab will not contribute to any moisture getting into the cabinetry.
Okay.
And then you should be in great shape on that. Naturally, you don't want to go buy the best cabinets in town to put in your garage, but you might want to just step up from the lowest grade to get some that will withstand what will be harsh conditions than you would have inside your house.
Okay, that's great. I appreciate all your help on that. I've just had so many people tell me different things. I wasn't sure what to do. So.
Oh, no, I understand. And that's the case on many, many opinions out there. You get plenty of opinions, that's for sure. And that's one of the things about the internet. You know, you go on there and sometimes it can confuse you more than anything else. Joe, what do you think about this? Sounds like a great, great project Ken's got going.
Yeah, Ken, I see kitchen cabinets. People, when they redo their kitchen, sometimes the cabinets are perfectly fine. It's like, well, no sense just throwing them away. So they put them in the garage. Now, is this going to continue to be used as a garage, or are you turning it into like a shop?
No, Joe, it's a garage. I just had it completely done, and I'm going to leave it as garage. I'm not putting any base cabinets in. I'm just putting wall cabinets in this all along the backside because it's a two-car garage.
Okay.
It's not a 2.5, so I don't really want to mess with the depth of it to get my cars in.
Is this attached or detached?
It's attached.
Okay. Well, that helps a little bit. It's not completely surrounded by the outdoors. I think you'd be fine. Like Danny said, just try to stay away from the particle board. I don't even like particle boards inside the house, so I certainly won't like them outside the house.
Okay. I appreciate you guys' help.
Anytime, Ken, if we can help you, and best of luck on the garage, because once you get that thing like you want it, you'll spend a lot of time out there.
I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks. Have a good day.
Okay, you take care. Hopefully, Ken won't be forced to spend time out there. You know, you want to go
thinking.
Out in the garage. It's not, you don't want to be summoned to the garage.
And, exactly.
Actually, we're right in the middle of taping an episode for our television show where we're removing some cabinetry, a large, large, very impressive cabinet, but it's so big inside a living room.
Right.
And so, you know, we asked the homeowners, naturally, you think it's going in the garage. And we received a real swift no from the lady of the house.
Okay.
And then so the guy, I could tell he's a character because he says, but honey, I can put all my lures in over here and my antique rods and reels here. And then my tackle box is here. And, you know, their eyes rolling back and forth. So we're going to play that up a little bit when I get back on the shoot, you know, and talk about, we can put a little rack here for all of your rods and reels. And, we're going to mess with them a little bit on that one.
Yeah, if they're in good shape, no sense just throw them away. Use them in the garage. Like I said, we see that all the time, garage full of kitchen cabinets.
Absolutely. Hey, coming up, another simple solution from my buddy Joe Truini. It's a good one that might save you a few of those energy dollars when we come back here on today's Homeowner Radio.
You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio, the number one place for practical, realistic home improvement tips. Call anytime, 800-946-4420. 800-946-4420.
Looking to update the look of your fireplace mantle? I've got just what you need at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Just search for fireplace plans for free printable plans. Then watch my how-to video of this simplistic but sophisticated design, and you're on your way to building your own fireplace mantle too. I can't wait to see what you build, so be sure to share your mantles by tagging me on social media. I'm at Checking In with Chelsea. Again, the plans and video are online now at checkinginwithchelsea.com.
When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautifully tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with SimpleMat from Custom Building Products. SimpleMat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. There's no mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
From installing a smart garage door opener, to installing a bathroom faucet, to removing a tree, the Home Depot believes you can do anything, especially the things we have how-to guides for. Visit HomeDepot.com for thousands of tips, workshops, and ideas for projects, big and small. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Danny Lipford here, along with my buddy Joe Truini. And Joe's going to share with us another simple solution. What do you have for us, Joe?
All right, Danny. I think a lot of people are concerned this time of year of keeping their house warm. So here's an easy way to determine if cold air is blowing in around an exterior door. First thing you have to do is close and lock the door. It's really important to lock the door because sometimes that will pull the door closed a little tighter. And then take a lighted candle and hold it very close to the joint between the door and the door jamb, and just slowly move the candle around all four edges of the door. And of course, what happens if there's any draft blowing in, it'll make the flame dance, as they say, right? The flame will, if it blows it out completely, then you really have an issue. But usually it just makes the flame dance a little bit, indicating exactly where you have to fix or replace the weather stripping. And you might find it's only one or two spots. Some people think, oh, well, if wind's blowing in, it's blowing in around the whole door. But that's not almost never the case, unless someone took out the weather stripping and didn't replace it. So you can find exactly where that spot is. And this also works around windows. But the only cautionary bit I want to tell you is, of course, it's an open flame. So be careful around drapes or curtains or blinds or anything like that. And if you're concerned at all, then you can also use a smoldering stick of incense. Get a stick of incense, the biggest one you can get, and light it, blow out the flame. Then, of course, it will smolder and put up some smoke, and the same thing will happen. But that's really a quick way to find out exactly where that wind is blowing in.
And you're right. A lot of times it can be just a little adjustment. It might be in the actual strike plate that you can tighten it up. It also can be where maybe on some of the foam weather stripping has gotten more compressed.
Right.
A lot of times you can take a pair of pliers and actually pull that out, kind of nurse it out a little bit, as we say, so that you get the compression that you need. And, you know, we talk all about the importance of sealing up the envelope of your home. And this is a great example and a very simple one that you can do to keep that cold air from infiltrating and costing you a lot on your energy bill.
Yeah, and the other tip I want to mention, if you do have to ever replace weather stripping, whether it's a door or a window, even a garage door or whatever, when you pull out the old weather stripping, bring it to the store with you. Because mm-hmm. if you show up without it and you think you're going to remember what it looks like, and you get in that aisle, it's like, there's like 30 different types and they're all packaged. I mean, it really can be pretty confusing. So take a piece of the old weather stripping with you. Hopefully get a section that's not too badly damaged and bring it to the store with you. This way you can get the right size.
Yeah, exactly. And that can make such a difference on your windows, your doors, everywhere. And, you know, as soon as you can get a decent day that the temperature is up, let's say above 45, then walk around real carefully on the outside of your house. You might find some cracks that you didn't even realize around that area where your evaporative lines come out for your air conditioning, maybe around a hose bib here and there. Things do happen, and you're able to seal those off and make it a lot more energy efficient. And you might find the source of some of those cold drafts that you have around your house.
Yeah, and we were just talking to Ken, who has an attached garage. If you have an attached garage, you've got to insulate that door, you know, especially the weather stripping along the bottom and anything you do. Now, you just built a new house, and even though you're in the southeast, did you insulate the garage door at all?
No, I didn't, but it's insulated. I bought one that already has the foam in it, so it's in pretty good shape.
Oh, good. Yeah, because hot or cold climate, you really should insulate that door. It's the biggest door in the house, right? You might as well insulate it.
That's right. And it will influence the inside of your home if you're not careful. Hey, I want to remind you, this week on the Today's Homeowner Television Show, you can see part two of Hope for a Hometown. Very special project I did in my little hometown, Marianna, Florida, where we built this wonderful pocket park right downtown. You'll see it all come together in this week's show and be able to see the payoff in a nice little gathering we had after it was all complete. That was a very special show. And I really appreciate the the emails and the feedback that we got over this past week of all of you that took a little time to check it out. And if you want to see where you can see the Today's Homeowner Television Show, just head to todayshomeowner.com and click on View, and then you can put your zip code in there to tell you exactly where you can see it in your neck of the woods. Hey, this is Today's Homeowner Radio. Thanks for listening to this hour. I'm Danny Lifford, along with my buddy Joe Truitt.